We are the dead. We are the disappeared. No cross to mark our grave. No one to see our tears. We are the dead. We have no space or time. No justice here. We are the dead. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared.
Daddy? Mammy? Daddy? Daddy, where are you?
If you were to fall and I were to fall in love with you, how I would.
Don't, Mammy, please. I promise I'll be good.
And you say I'd be crazy to love you, baby. But I would if I could be sure that you'd love me.
I want to tell you that I am no angel. I'm a devil in disguise. When you open your eyes, you'll see.
I always knew that Mother was a witch. She's responsible for all this. She killed my father, murdered him, erased his memory. I was only 6 at the time, hardly able to lay down memories. I feel hollow where he should have been. The bit where he should have grown up with me. The things that he should have done with me. She crippled me, the witch. Her eyes doing things to me. I try. Every day I try to stop her. Yet still she can come and poke around inside me with those eyes. And I'll wake up shouting. Maybe dribbling piss and go to the bathroom with the moon shining in through the roof light. And I'll retch and retch. But it does no good. And I'll hang my head inside the bowl and smell the vomit. See it curdling in the water just below. And I look into the lumpy puke, and through it, I see those witch eyes watching me, seeing into my thoughts. I'll get caught there, afraid to look again, but even more afraid that if I stagger back to my bedroom, she'll be there waiting, her eyes on the pillow, staring into mine.
Thomas, come here. Don't do that. You're a bold boy. Why did you do it? I know what you did.
No.
Don't do that.
No.
Go to confession.
No.
Sit up straight.
No.
Go out and wash your hands again.
No.
Go to your room.
No.
What were you doing all that time?
No.
You're a bad boy. You'll go to hell. I can see what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. No dinner. Go to bed. You wet the bed. Wet the bed. Wet the bed.
Stop it. Oh God, I know she's still there, watching me. I hear her in the night whispering. Bad boy. Wet the bed. Wet the bed. Wet the bed.
Thomas? Your father's not well.
I think I was 5 at the time. Maybe 6.
You'll have to be quiet around the house. You're making too much noise.
Yes, Mammy. What's wrong with him?
Never you mind. Don't be always asking questions.
But, Ma'am...
Now, there's your answer. Leave your father alone. What's that smell? Did you wet yourself again?
I always wet myself when I got anxious or frightened. And then she'd punish me. Wouldn't let me call him Daddy. I had to call him Father because she called him your father. And then she became Mother. She slapped me for saying Mammy, thought it was Sissy. Thought everything was Sissy.
Surely you can get on the team, Thomas. Get some friends. And stop shaking like that. You've got to grow up, Thomas.
Sometimes he'd be a bit better and get up and sit downstairs by the fire, his face pale and very thin. She made up special drinks for him with things like herbs and yeasts and seaweed in them. He hated them, but she made him.
I want to tell you that I am no angel. I'm a devil in disguise. When you open your eyes, you'll see.
It'll do you good. I got the recipe from Mrs. Davies. Her husband got over his cancer, didn't he? And got back to work.
When father went to hospital, he must have had chemotherapy because he could hardly move or talk when he came home. I swear she was a witch, a real one, giving him those potions.
Go on now and take a walk. And take Thomas with you. And stay out of my way until it's dinner time.
And then one day, I was made stay with my aunt. And when I came back, he was gone. Had just disappeared.
Never you mind. He won't be back. He's gone for good. Let him be. And you can stop all your questions.
And he was gone. Vanished. Dead. Disappeared.
We are the dead. We have no space or time. No justice here. We are the dead. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared.
That's when I knew she was a witch. The eyes, that voice.
I know what you're thinking. Stop fiddling with yourself. No dinner. Go to your room. You wet the bed, wet the bed, wet the bed. Don't lie to me. Bad boy.
And I was too afraid even to hate her. But her eyes knew. And she cast her spells on me. Gave me her lotions and potions, her cream for my psoriasis and made up medicines for my asthma, special drinks for my wedding. I soiled myself too. She could make me do that. Do my number two by just staring at me, accusing me.
Bad, bad, bad boy!
When I wet myself, she'd make me wear girl's pants the next day. And if the bed was wet again, she'd make me wash the sheets by hand in the bath. When I dirtied my pants, she'd... No, 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 take that away from my nose. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Bad, bad, bad person.
Oh, God. For 25 years after my father died, I put up with the witch. When I came out of hospital that time, just before she died, Dr. Byrne, the psychiatrist, said I must keep using the tablets for my thoughts, and the ones for sleeping, and the Valium, too, because when I got anxious, I still started shaking and wet myself. Or did the number two. She was sick in bed, but her eyes were everywhere, so I couldn't sleep for 2 days. I took her meals up on a tray, and avoided those eyes.
You're late. What's wrong? That toast is burned. Go and get me more. Decent toast this time. You're useless. You wet the bed, wet the bed, wet the bed. You're a wicked boy. I can see what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
She took her sleeping tablets and went to sleep early. I know because I listened and she was snoring. I turned on the electric fire in the living room and put it near the old couch and went for a walk. When I came back, the house was like the tiger. Tiger, burning bright in the darkness of the night. The inquest decided she had forgotten to turn off the fire when she went to bed, after I'd gone for my walk.
This is the 6 o'clock news. Gardaí are investigating the death of a woman in a house fire near Johnstown in County Wicklow yesterday evening. Mrs. Mary Conway, a widow in her late 50s, was alone in the house at the time when a fire started in a downstairs room. Her son returned home shortly afterwards and attempted to rescue her, but was beaten back by the flames. A post-mortem will be carried out in the morning. The president has called on...
They knew I hadn't done it, not with the back of my hands burned like they were. I kept gloves in the car after that. My hands didn't look nice.
All right, Thomas. That's fine. You can go now. I'm sorry we had to ask you down to the station to go through it all again, but, well, it's routine after a death. We'll have the body released tomorrow. You all right for a lift?
I stayed in a hotel until I got the house fixed up and sold. I never went back inside. I waited at the crematorium until I saw the coffin was well in the flames, and the witch was burned. Burned to the stake. Those eyes burned to cinders. Then I came back a few days later to get her ashes. I took them up to Powers Court Waterfall the next day and stood under it and dribbled those witch ashes into the river. And then I pissed myself. Not in my pants, but into the water, squeezing out the very last dribble from my bladder. I thought it was done with. Over. I never let her have a grave or a headstone.
I'm glad you kept your appointment, Thomas. I'm sorry about your mother. It must be an awful way to go. And your prescriptions are nearly up.
Dr. Byrne, to tell you the truth, I feel free for the first time in my life. I'm glad she's gone. She went the way of all witches, consigned to the flames. Her eyes got burned away.
Thomas, I understand how you feel, but she wasn't a witch. You mustn't think that way. You'll be much better if you leave it be and don't dwell on that. It's time to get on with your life now. Build up your health, get your thoughts in order. You know we're here to look after you.
I know, but I want to try and start fresh again. I've sold the house. I had her cremated.
Oh, that was quick. The house, I mean. You need something to occupy yourself now that she's gone. You know that not having worked before must be a consideration. Would you think about coming in and doing a course in the day centre? I feel it might help you to socialise a bit more, get you out of yourself. Now, I'm going to alter your medication a bit. That will help. Make it regular visits for a while, will you? Where are you going to stay?
I'm going to buy a house down in Drumcondra. That's it, now. Drumcondra, in the city. I'll ring and make an appointment.
Be sure you do. Oh, and Thomas, please remember it's important to stay on your medication this time. You know what happened before.
Well, I pray to heaven if I wanted an angel. It is you I love and with you I want to be.
Of course, I never went back to him. He had a way of looking at me as if he could see inside. He had a bit of a look like my mother, in his eyes, just sometimes, when you looked at him quickly. It's better to be sure than sorry with people like that, and keep yourself safe. I never went near Drumcondra. This house is down in Wexford, near Culloden. It's well hidden from the road. When I come home, I can lock the big gates and nobody knows if I'm in or out. I get my food and beer in different places. Sometimes Wexford or Enniscorthy. Even Kilkenny or Dublin. So no one gets to know me. Sometimes in the evening or in the afternoon, when it was quiet, I'd go and drive by the old house in Johnstown and look. Not too often. A few times a year. made me think too much about my father. Dead and disappeared. And the witch. And I'd get anxious and wet myself again. I couldn't help it. It got worse after the tablets ran out. The chemist said I needed a new prescription, so I had to stop taking them.
We are the dead. We are the disappeared. No cross to mark our grave. No one to see our tears. We are the dead. We have no space or time. No justice here. We are the dead. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared.
I am Melanie Arthur. I am one of the dead. I have no mark on my grave. No one knows I cry. I lived for almost 23 years. On the day I disappeared, I went to visit my uncle, who was a priest in St. Patrick's in Kiltegan. I got the bus from Johnstown to where he picked me up in his car. He drove me back to the bus when it was nearly time and left me at the stop. It was about 6 p.m. on a March day. A car drove by me slowly and the driver looked at me and stopped and reversed.
Are you from Johnstown? You used to work in the paper shop, didn't you?
When I was doing my leaving, I worked there at weekends. He looked familiar. I think he'd lived in the village. His mother was killed in that fire.
I'm going to Johnstown to meet a friend. Do you want a lift?
Sure, that's great. The old bus is always late. Thanks a million.
I thought it was all over and finished. But the witch mustn't have died in the fire, because on that day, I was on my way to Johnstown and I passed a young woman at the bus stop. And when she looked at me, she had those eyes. My mother's eyes. And I knew she'd come back again from hell. So I had to sort out things and gave her a lift.
He seemed nice. He made sure I had my seatbelt on and we drove out of Kiltegan. He didn't look at me the way some men do. He didn't look at me at all, which was a bit strange. After a few minutes, he slowed down.
Oh, I left my glasses in the boot. Hang on while I get them.
It was then I noticed his hands. It must have been from the fire. I couldn't blame him for wanting to cover them up. So he got out and took them from the boot and sat back in. He had a ropey thing in his hand. I think it was the sort of stretchy rope with hooks on the end that you use to hold things on, like the back of your bike or on the top of your car.
Look, there's a rabbit up there in the ditch.
Where? Show me, where? It's like a silent film, where you look back on the life you lived before you were disappeared. You can't really hear sounds, just the pictures of the thing you look back on.
She was a stupid girl. For a witch.
He put the rope around my neck and pulled it tight. He pulled me across the seat and covered my mouth with his hand.
When she was, well, dead, I lifted her out and put her in the boot and covered her with the pages of the Wexford Echo. I took her back to Cologne in the dark. I could smell my piss hot on my legs. And I couldn't help it, but the number two came out as well. I'd hoped I'd kill Mother properly this time. I didn't know what to do with her body.
Oh, he knew what to do, all right. Once I was dead. Once I was disappeared. No cross to mark my grave, no one to see my tears. Where I have come, there is no space or time. There is no justice here.
I took her out of the car and laid her on the floor of the workshop. Her eyes wouldn't stay closed. But I knew what to do. I drove a knife through her ribs into her heart the way they used to drive a stake through the heart of evil witches. Then I closed her eyes.
He took two great nails and a hammer, and he hammered and hammered them into my eyes.
And beat in the nails until only the top was visible. I wanted to do the hands and feet too, but...
Guard Thee are continuing their search for Melanie Arthur, the young Johnstown woman who disappeared on Tuesday evening. She was returning home from a visit to Father John Arthur, who has appealed for any witnesses to come forward. Guard Thee say it's unlikely that she left the area voluntarily.
The Dow Jones... The next day I took out the foundation for the wall behind the vegetable patch and put the witch in the hole, face downward.
He covered me with cement he mixed in a mixer. He built a wall up over my body. That's the only marker my grave will ever have.
Every little while I put an extra row of bricks above her, and it holds the heat of the sun and helps my vegetables grow. Sometimes I take a chair out and catch the last of the day's warmth.
Guard Thee now say they are treating the disappearance of Melanie Arthur as a murder investigation. They have interviewed...
And not long after that, a woman in Bray was kidnapped and raped, and her body was found near Greystones. And they thought it was the same man. She had been cut up into parts as well. It wasn't me. I'm not like that. I'm not a bad person. That summer I grew peas and beans. But in September I had to stop getting a paper whenever I was out, because sometimes in the photographs I could see her in the crowds, looking out at me. I went back to the psychiatric place at the hospital to get tablets, but felt her eyes at the door, and then I felt the need to wee, so I knew I couldn't go in.
Go to your room. You'll wet the bed. You're a bad boy.
Now I am the dead. I am the disappeared. No cross marks my grave. No one sees my tears.
My name is Jane Rose Dignan. I am one of the dead. I lived for almost 27 years. The day I disappeared, I was walking from my parents' farmhouse into Ballymore to get some yeast from Mrs. Power. It was a fine afternoon. I hoped I'd meet Paddy Oak when I called. The man drove towards me and I waved hello, and he slowed down to ask me the way to Johnstown. I had to bend down to talk to him. He had sunglasses.
A woman has gone missing from near her home in Ballymore, County Wicklow. Jane Rose Dignan was walking to a neighbour's house when she disappeared on Monday last and has not been seen since. Guard Thee have requested information regarding her whereabouts.
Before I knew it, he had a rope pulled around my neck, forcing me against the car.
She struggled and fought me back, so I knew it was definitely Mother. I got her into the boot and put a plastic bag into her mouth until she was still. Then I covered her up and drove home. I had to change because of the number one and number twos all over me. I sorted her out then, even though it was quite dark. I felt very tired.
He sorted Jane Rose Dignan, all right. He did what he had done to me. Hammered those great nails into her eyes. And he kept telling her to stop talking. stopped saying he was bad and had wet the bed, so he hammered her face and her mouth in his fury again and again and again until there just wasn't any left. And then he dug by the wall near my own body and grunted for hours as he cleared out a deep trench.
He placed my body face down at the bottom, only you couldn't see my face. And then he dug up some potatoes and late beans from the vegetable patch and made dinner and went to bed.
In the morning I began mixing cement in my mixer and laid the foundation for a new stretch of wall. I took good care not to damage the vegetables. I pulled some rhubarb. I like rhubarb tart.
Gardaí are now treating their investigations into the disappearance of the Wicklow woman, Jane Rose Dignan, as a murder inquiry. She is the second woman to vanish in similar circumstances in the county in the past 7 months. Gardaí believe there may be a connection with the killing and mutilation of a Bray woman 4 months ago.
I spent the next 2 weeks mixing cement and building the wall up until it was heavy and secure, and I knew it would keep her down there. I planted a grapevine against the wall because it would benefit from the heat of the sun.
He desecrated my body and took my face away. And it wasn't just because of the sun either. He read his gardening books and found out unusual things about plants. See, in the old days, they built glass houses and put in tons of manure, which gave enough heat for them to grow pineapples and things like that, and grapes as well. They used to put the roots outside the glass house and let the vine grow through the wall into the inside. And to make it grow, they dug a huge hole first, and then they dumped in a dead animal, a horse maybe, so when it rotted down, the bones and stuff would give it the right things like calcium and vitamins and that. But he wasn't thinking horse. He was thinking me. And now the only use I have is making his grapevine grow. So now I am the dead. Now I am the disappeared. And no cross marks my grave. And no one can see my tears.
There is no justice here. We are the dead. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared.
I watched the evening news to see what was happening. They talked about her a good bit at first, and then hardly at all. But a couple of months later, they did a primetime thing about missing women and talked about that Melanie Arthur and the murdered and raped woman from Bray and Jane Rose Dignan, too. They thought they were all murdered, which you could see they hadn't any clues. They talked to the superintendent who was handling the whole thing.
I've been reviewing the cases, and I believe that the same man may have been responsible for all three. I believe the primary motive was probably sexual, but we can't be certain without the bodies, obviously. It is possible the two women are still alive, but I don't think so. And I'd ask every woman in the Wexford area to be especially vigilant.
It's not true. I didn't touch either of them. Someone else raped that poor woman in Rathmoyle. I wanted to ring primetime and tell them that it wasn't me, but I'd stopped the phone the week after the Jane Rose Dignan woman because of the phone call. One evening, a woman rang me to complete a survey and said I'd get a discount from the bank she was working for. She sounded just like Mother, and I just knew she was going to ask me did I do my number twos in my pants, so I ran out to the workshop and hammered the phone into tiny bits and then buried them where I was... Well, where I knew I was going to build the next bit of wall. I'd already dug out the foundation. When I was digging, I could keep Mother out of my head.
Take it all away.
But after he disappeared me, he couldn't keep the voices away. When he listened to the radio and it crackled, he jumped and turned it off. A few months after he did me in, he smashed that up too. And he was going for drives every week. He said he wasn't, but he was.
And you were to fall, and I was to fall in love with you.
My name is Tracy O'Connor. I live, used to live, near Knockglass, until he got me too. I was 28 and had beautiful red hair and nice legs and a great figure, at least after I got the boob job done. My Jimmy made good money, so I didn't have to work. Not like him, I mean. See, I'd had sex with me cousin when I was 12, and after that you couldn't stop me. And what's wrong with that anyway? You'd think it could be got easy enough, but lots of fellas were shy about it, and, well, especially if you came on at them. Either they went as soft as a banana, or came in your hand or your mouth and left you hanging. I even got paid for it once when I was working in the bank in London, and it was great. He was a real randy guy, and I was able to get a cool pair of platforms. I get the hots some days and get the bus to somewhere else, or hitch. Pick up some fella who can't keep his hands away from you. Especially if they think you're pure. I never expected to meet someone like Thomas Conway. Who wasn't interested, I mean.
I was driving along slowly. And she was walking. And turned and smiled at me. I pulled up pretending I wanted directions. She walked around onto the road to the driver's side to talk to me. She leaned right in at the window, and I knew she was the witch, all right, because she was trying to tempt me. Her blouse half open, and that cleavage part right in my face. I kept on seeing mother in her eyes. The bits of her breasts I could see were cool and white, and I knew I was going to wet myself. So when she said to me,
"Do you want to take me for a ride? Hey?"
I nodded and let her get into the passenger seat. Her skirt got pulled up and she had those stockings that don't go all the way up but have lace at the top. Mother used to wear black tights. You'd see them hanging on the line with her. Under things. She started chatting and opened her blouse a bit and I could see nearly everything. Because she didn't have the bra thing on, and I wasn't able to talk to her. But she rubbed my leg, and then... I wet myself, and she felt the wet down there, and laughed, and said,
"Here, let me lie down and put my head on your lap."
So I jammed on the brakes and held her head between my knees and the steering wheel and beat her nose and mouth until she was gone. I think I broke a bone in my little finger.
I'd never met a fella who didn't go for me. Maybe he was queer, although he didn't act it. Doesn't matter now, anyway. He killed me.
I'm Melanie Arthur. That's Jane Rose Dignan.
And this is me, Tracy O'Connor.
Now you are one of the dead.
One of the disappeared.
No cross on your grave.
No one to see your tears.
We have no space or time.
There is no justice here.
We are the dead. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared. I don't like my face all pulped or my body under all that concrete and a wall above. three of us. Like the way a child would lay matches in a row, end to end. He wrapped me up in black plastic first, so not one bit of me showed. And before he'd wrap me, he wrapped his hands in black plastic. And that duct tape too, so he wouldn't have to touch me.
I wore gloves because I didn't want to have my hands touching her. Not someone like that. Because I'm not like that. I'm not bad. When her bit of wall was up, I picked Virginia creeper to grow there because it would hide the wall pretty quickly. And I planted some more rhubarb on the ground below. It has really big leaves when it has manure, so it covers the ground completely. And I stayed home for months after that.
He went out the next week looking, and the week after.
You'd have thought there wouldn't be a woman on the road.
But there was, poor child.
Mother's eyes kept looking out at me from the TV, so I covered the screen over with the new duct tape I'd bought.
Organisers say that over 3,000 women attended a demonstration outside the Dáil today to protest at what they say is the failure of the Gardaí to progress their investigation into the disappearance of four women in the country within the last year. A French national, Eloise Philippity, was the fourth woman to disappear without trace. Gardaí drew their batons as the crowd attempted to gain access to the Dáil grounds and bottles and cans were thrown.
Je suis Eloise Philippity. My age is 19. I come from Ajaccio in Corsica to be au pair. I take a walking trip in Wexford. This man, he gave me a lift near Glenart. He had the sunglasses, but il pleuvait. He put his hands around the neck and I am dead. Mort. Elle est très triste.
He kept her in the workshop for nearly 3 days.
Le premier jour, he took off my chemisière and veston so he could look. The next jour, my pantalon and boots. Pauvre maman.
On the third day, he stripped her naked and sat on a box and looked for hours.
Il maître, his hands all over my body. My eyes étaient fermés. Il était terrible.
When he finished that, he wrapped her in black plastic and duct tape and put her in the hole and made cement to cover her. He left his hands in bleach for so long, they went all white and got blisters. His legs were wet with pee and he'd soiled himself, so he smelt.
I am le mort. Le mort. Le mort.
So when I got home, I just dumped her in the hole once I'd hammered her eyes out. I didn't want to see the witch, so I stuck a sack over her face. I didn't do a number one or number two, so I knew I could catch the witches and sort them all out. I'm sure Mother couldn't see me, but...
But her eyes were everywhere. The handles of a scissors, two plates, two coins. No matter what he did, he saw round eyes. He even put duct tape over his own eyes, but his hands sought out everything. Cup handles, egg cups, every round shape. He didn't sleep for days. He lies. He wet himself all the time. It was like there was a devil pulling him apart from the inside.
When I went out a few days later, I wore gloves because my hands were bleeding. I wore a hat and my sunglasses because my skin had pulled off when I pulled the duct tape from my eyes.
I'm called Sarah Woodford. I'm 18 now.
I go to the adult workshop. I love Mrs. O'Connor. She's my teacher. Mammy's at the shop, so I'm going down the road to pick primroses for her. I know I have to stop and stand still when cars come, Mrs. O'Connor said.
He took her home and he did what he did to me. And I cannot regard it.
Because he lay on her in the hole he dug and had sex with her.
I was dead.
When I got back home from finding her that night, I took her from the car and wrapped her in the horse blanket and put her in the hole I'd made. I put the cement over her too and built the wall in a few days. That was a month ago. I don't feel well. I always knew that Mother was a witch. She is responsible for all this. I'm not a bad person. She made me. She made me. When I was covering her with the blanket, the back of my hand touched just a little bit against the... No, it was an accident. No. I didn't mean it. Mother Daddy has disappeared. No.
Go to your room. I know you're lying. Bold boy. I know what you're thinking. Go to your room. Go to bed. You wet the bed.
No.
Look at him.
The wall finished and planted. You'd never know we were there.
He's left a note on the table. He says he's depressed, pretending he's missing his mother. He's going to end it all. I still don't know why he didn't want me.
He tells the lies. Méchant homme. Look. He has the Stutzgun.
I don't understand. He stuck the gun in his mouth. That's dangerous, Mrs. O'Connor said.
I knew it. When he looks down the barrel, he sees his mother's eyes looking out.
We are the dead.
Melanie Arthur.
We are the disappeared.
Jane Rose Dignan.
No cross to mark our grave.
Tracy O'Connor.
No one to see our tears.
Eloise Filippetti.
We are the dead.
Sarah Woodford.
We have no space or time. No justice here. We are forever lost. We are the disappeared.
Enda Oates played Thomas Conway in The Disappeared by John Austin Connolly, the second prize winner in the PJ O'Connor Awards 2012. Deirdre Donnelly played the part of his mother. Natalie Randmull Quirk, Melanie Arthur. Dorothy Cotter was Mary Rose Dignan. And Cathy Rose O'Brien, Tracy O'Connor. Aileen Mythen played the parts of Eloise Filippetti and Sarah Woodward. Carl O'Neill was Dr. Byrne and Garda Sergeant, and Jerry McArdle was the newsreader. Sound supervision was by Mark McGrath and Tom Norton, and the producer was Aidan Matthews. Well, to listen back and download this and many other radio dramas in the RTE archives, go to rte.ie/drama-on-1. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds.
Drama on One.
PPI National Station of the Year. RTE Radio 1. Live the day.
And now another programme in our new series where young theatre professionals lay out their stalls and discuss their work. Tonight, Nairi Jürgen Hersian and Brian Bennett from the company outline their practical, their philosophical and their political approaches in Young Bloods.
My name is Nairi Jürgen Hersian.
My name is Brian Bennett.
And we are two of the five members of the Company Theatre Company, which is an ensemble of five actors that trained in Trinity College. We did the Bachelor in Acting Studies and we graduated in 2008 and started our company very shortly after.
Through college, we went to see work in the Abbey, went to see work in the Gate and Project Arts Centre. And as much as we enjoyed the work, we felt that it wasn't, for want of a better word, representative of what our interests were. As much as we were interested in theatre and plays, we were also interested in shows such as South Park and comedy and also social media like Facebook and Twitter we were using. And as much as we always use the example that as much as we love, you rent a DVD and you watch a DVD, you also watch the DVD bloopers.
I think we don't tick very many boxes at all, really, because of the range that we cover in terms of what we do and our place in what we call the establishment. So it's very hard to label us as whatever one thing or another. And I think it's because we're trying to find new things and we're working on new things and we're trying to find what box that we can tick, or maybe we don't even want to tick a box, just want to be doing what we're doing, really.
And we are very interested in the DVD bloopers or the construction of the thing. So
it always seemed like the kind of the backstage work, yeah, of what we saw in theatre was actually more interesting to us than what we actually saw when the final product was presented to us. When we started to get interested in devising work and being the authors of our own work.
There's certain things, there's an interesting thing what happens in theatre. You go to the theatre and you'll go see a play, and what the play tries to do for the whole thing is deny that it's in a theatre. What we were interested in, I think, was to acknowledge the fact that we're in a theatre, acknowledge the fact that we're all here in this room, acknowledge the fact that we're not being anyone other than ourselves. I'm not being anyone other than Brian, and Nairi isn't being anyone other than Nairi, and we are the company and we're doing this work here with you right now in this room.
There's something about theatre that has a kind of sense of community, a sense of involvement, and we didn't really want to have these kind of spectators that come and absorb what we're offering, but to also be really part of what we're doing. And so we tried to open it as much as we could into a space for conversation and dialogue and interaction. And most recently in our current work, Politic, that's the main idea, actually, is participation and involvement and what theatre as a form can achieve.
Two things were happening at the same time. We were looking for a new idea, and also the general elections were on, and we realised that we didn't have a clue about politics, Irish politics, and this thing that on paper it works very well, politics, but me as one person cannot change the political system. Me as an individual spectator going in to see a theatre show cannot change the theatre show that I'm seeing. So we thought that was a very interesting parallel to make and to play with. And that's what the rehearsals for Politic were, to how do you make a show that the audience can change every night and represent them.
We visited all of the headquarters of all of the different political parties. I think it's interesting when you talk about politics in terms of our generation and what we know about it, actually. And we did go down the road of trying to access the political system and seeing what was going on. So we visited Fianna Fáil, a centre-right party. We visited Fine Gael, another centre-right. Labour, more left, we are now in coalition with a centre-right. Very interesting. We visited Sinn Féin. That's a whole other story. And we realised that it was extremely closed off. We were told maybe to visit websites or given a leaflet. We were asking, you know, when is the next meeting? What do I do now? I feel like you really represent what I want and I want to be part of this. And they said there was nothing really that could be done except just follow us, or leaflets and websites we were directed to. They were totally unprepared for us turning up at the door. And I think it's because it doesn't ever happen. Yeah. So each one of us decided to go to a different party, and I was slightly volunteered to go to Sinn Féin. So I didn't really know where to start. I did have a few people kind of cringe slightly when I told them that's what I was going to be doing, and they were slightly worried, but I was unaware of why I should be worried, so I tried it anyway. So I went to the Sinn Féin shop on Parnell Street. So I visited there, but unfortunately it was closed. But there was a man inside the door painting in a, he was a painter decorator outfit, and painting the inside of the door. And I said, sorry, is it closed here today? And he said, yeah, but listen, come back tomorrow. And I said, okay, that's no problem. Maybe you can help me. I don't know if you're affiliated with Sinn Féin or you're literally just here to paint. And he said, no, I'm part of the crew. And I said, okay, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. And he said, yeah, no problem. And I said, well, you see, I'm doing this theatre show and I'm trying to get involved in understanding politics, and I'd really like to know more about Sinn Féin, and maybe you could tell me a bit about them and what they do and what they stand for, and what, as a young person, I should be interested in, or, you know, why should I be part of Sinn Féin? And he said, well, I come from the other side of the road, if you know what I mean. And I said, what? And he said, well, army-like. And I almost had a heart attack. And I... to this day, I don't know if he was joking just to try and frighten me, or whether I was just... So I really didn't know what to do with that. So I was like, oh, well, anyway, maybe I can just take your contact details and come back again. So he gave me his card, which was the painter decorator card. And he said, give me your details and I'll pass them on to the Sinn Féin youth, which would be delighted to talk to you. And I said, yeah, that's probably a better option. And so it went on for a while. I didn't hear from them till much later on, actually, at which point a few months had passed and none of us had really successfully joined anything or been part of anything, that we kind of had moved on from this idea of joining parties, that we weren't going to find what we needed in actually the political system, and that what we needed to do was to talk about our own politics and how we were going to deal with it from then. But it was definitely an interesting challenge.
I went to Labour and I called in and the receptionist was there. They have two desks when you walk in, and I went into the receptionist and I was saying, listen, I'm very interested in joining the party. How do I do this? And she looked dumbfounded and then gave me a little leaflet. Like, it was ridiculous. She's like, just look at this leaflet here. And I was like, OK, but like, I'm very interested. I think Labour really represents what I'm about. And obviously lying. And she was like, okay, yeah, you just want to take that leaflet there and then just contact your local person. And then it's the same question. Okay, so when I contact my local person, what do I do? When's the next meeting? How do I get involved? I really want to help out. One of the girls went to Fianna Fáil, and the girl who went to Fianna Fáil
was totally welcomed in.
Totally welcomed.
She was given a cup of coffee and
sit down at the table. Like, sit down, here's a cup of coffee, let's talk. Yeah, we're really interested in connecting with Ireland's youth again and stuff. But what was interesting is the people who, because we had people in to talk to us, people who are currently working in some of the parties and ex-people, and they said that the system, it doesn't allow them to enforce these great ideas that they have for
or
change.
Implement anything. They just say it's quite restrictive. And actually, even if you are somebody who has a good idea for a positive change, that but the systems and the structures that are set up, it means it's very difficult for them to actually do anything.
And he told us about like the whip system, the party whip system, which is like, how is that productive to good politics? So in theory, it just becomes it's just gangs.
What we understand in similarities, I think that we wanted to make theatre because we feel like it's a useful tool to discuss things. It's a useful way to, it just sounds all good person and they're the bad people, and it's not supposed to be like that. It's just, why are you a politician? Why am I a theatre maker? And what am I going to use that for?
I have no doubt that being a politician is a hard job. It's a very hard job. But if it's a very hard job, then you have to have that will to do it and that love to do it, much like theatre is a very hard job.
We could be being hard on them. We could be being overly critical. We could be, to be honest, we don't know the ins and outs in terms of what's inside, but because we couldn't get in.
I think it's what's so nice about when you have a group of people who, a group of friends, we're all friends, I think, first and foremost, and you all have similar artistic interests, in that because we work in theatre, we've done theatre, and as much as we're still going to do theatre, we have, we always said we want to maybe in a couple of years like do an album because we all play instruments. So let's just like make an album for the hell of it because why
or a
not?
Musical because
or
if
a
that's,
musical. Let's just make our own musical why not? Because what's the you know you might yeah. as well do it because it's fun and if it hasn't yeah. been done and we have an interest in it, we'll just do it. Yeah. I think.
That was Nairi Jørgein-Hersian and Brian Bennett from the company in Youngbloods. The producer was Kevin Reynolds. Well, coming up after the news, Philip King's Music Hour in The South Wind Blows.
PPI National Station of the Year. RTE Radio 1. Live the day.